Thank you for joining us and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. And for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, thank you so much. And please continue to help spread the word that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. Now, if you can't listen live, all of our shows, including this one, can be found at answers.network. And I'd also really appreciate if you could do me a big favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know who can benefit from a particular subject. And let me tell you, this is one subject we can all benefit from. And this is one powerful way that we can make a positive difference in the world together. Now, let me tell you a little bit about our guest. In the eyes of the public, our guest had already become an international success, performing over 60 lead roles in operas and Broadway shows around the world. However, on the inside, he felt empty and insecure. Something important was missing from his life. So he walked away from his career in the performing arts to focus on guiding individuals into a surprising new approach to personal transformation. Ron Baker has now spent over 25 years as a bioenergetics therapist, healer, speaker, and best-selling author. He has nurtured thousands into meaningful empowerment through his school of self-mastery and inspired millions to come together for worldwide events that he has led from sacred sites around the world. His new book, Bright Lights, Big Empty, A Journey of Profound Awakening, invites us on an adventure of a lifetime, revealing a depth of personal transformation that few imagine possible. Ron, welcome to Answers Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
I was going to say, it is my pleasure. And as we were talking about right before we went on the air, you are making a positive difference in the world, which is exactly what we want to bring to the people. So I thank you for that.
Awesome.
So as I was reading more about you, as I was reading the book, a lot of things from me, kind of on my psychologist side of me, started thinking about putting myself in your shoes. And Ron, what I was thinking is that a lot of people were probably shocked to find out that you were leaving a very successful career in a field that most people would have dreamed to have. How did people initially react to this decision you made?
Well, the people who didn't know me really well were stunned, because I had some of the best agents in the world. I was having a rare opportunity to travel the world and do glamorous things, but people were my priority. Mm-hmm. And having an audience out there that I never got to impact directly or long term is what drove me a little crazy. I'd always been interested in the healing arts in addition to the performing arts. And so it's like I got a world education from that first career, seeing all kinds of cultures and different approaches to life. And I ended up seeking tons of answers that I needed. And as I put together the pieces in my own life and began to form this process of personal transformation for myself, when I shared that with other people, like the ones who did know me well, they understood fully why I would leave the performing career, because the things I was sharing with them were also making a huge difference to their lives. And so it just became like a soul unfolding, a soul plan of my life unfolding. And that first opportunity to be up in front of thousands of people and sharing myself emotionally, as well as getting that world education, was the perfect training for what I do now.
You know, and again, and the feeling that I got in reading the book that made me feel so good was that I felt that you got a certain amount of growth as you learned in transforming yourself. But it seems like the biggest growth that you had was when you figured out how to teach other people to do it. Share how that went and if I'm perceiving this correctly.
Well, I think that most people want to make a difference in their lives. They want to feel that their lives matter. And I always loved being up in front of people performing because I could see that they were moved. Mm-hmm. But I knew from my own journey that the achievement at those levels did not take away the fact that I had no trusted sense of self-value. I had no idea that proving myself in the outer world did not translate to having a sense of self. And when I became so clear about that, I so wanted other people to have access to what made such a big difference to me. And so then I got to truly know what it was like to make a difference in others' lives. And there is nothing like being able to be trusted into the depths of someone's life and to be able to pass on clarity about life. Because it's my opinion that the world is missing the centerpiece of what is most important to every person. And that is an understanding of self, the journey of self, the unfolding of self, the fulfillment of self. We get taught all kinds of skills and focus in the outer world. And having the inner connected awareness of self and what that process looks like has been my mission. And I am thrilled to say that every single person who gathers that clarity and a set of nurturing tools has made such specific growth into more fulfillment. And we hear stories all the time about how people achieve the heights of so many different careers and realize they're unfulfilled. And I'm so thrilled to be able to offer an alternative that can have both.
And I love that. We have a question that's coming in, comment, I think. And again, I want to thank those that take the time to do this. And this one reads, there are so many people really waking up to their own true self all around this planet. I hope it will be soon enough to change the direction of where we are currently headed. I believe we're being groomed for transhumanism, and our youth see this as advancement without understanding the consequences. I would like your take on this matrix, and what do you think we can do for the betterment of all? And this is from Rita in Georgia.
It's a big question, and I like to bring things down to the most practical way of understanding so that every person can apply it. We do live in a world that is shaky, mm-hmm. filled with all kinds of on-the-verge crises, whether it's the financial world or the climate or so much corruption in the various systems that we keep hearing about. Mm-hmm. And the way I have made peace with this is beginning to understand the soul journey. So I'm going to give it a context and then come back to this specific answer.
Okay.
When I was a little kid, I used to be so frustrated that nothing made sense to me in the way life was being presented. And I heard that we only have one lifetime. And I was like, okay, if that's true, how in the world is any of it fair? It's so okay. random. Somebody lives 3 months, somebody lives 103 years. Somebody has money, other people don't have access to that. Some people have intelligence at a certain level and other people struggle so much. I just don't understand how any of it is fair. And so as I went out in the world for my performing career and I explored so many different cultures, I realized that tons of people on the planet were already embracing the idea of a soul journey where we get tons of lifetimes to evolve one layer at a time. And we have as many first grade lifetimes, to make it overly simple, as many first grade lifetimes as we need. And when we at our own pace begin to navigate that curriculum and we are confident at a certain level, we naturally seek what's next, what's more. And if we look just at one lifetime, we grow through so many stages. Mm-hmm. We're a child, and what is perfect for a child and the challenges that are perfect for a child may be frustrating to the child, but by facing those challenges, we prepare and develop more of the potential of self. And so we then move on to greater and greater opportunities and challenges. So when I look at the big scale on the planet and I see all of these things that are so out of balance, I go, okay, let's trust the soul journey of this. And that we are having a wake-up call that says many of the choices we are making are leaving us crying out for deeper solutions. Mm-hmm. This is not working. This is not working. And when we hit those roadblocks, the encouragement is not to try harder at the same thing and beat our head on that tree, but to literally shift and seek other things. And that's what I began to do when I was in my performing career, seeking out various teachers and healers and all kinds of approaches that had already worked out a lot of the pieces. So I came from specific challenges. Let me make it personal. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a family where my father never said one single thing to me growing up, not one conversation. He would say, take out the trash, go mow the lawn, but not one personal invested conversation with me. That left me with a very specific challenge. And I felt so insecure and I felt so much self-doubt. Well, what that did on a soul level was it put my focus on that challenge in a big way. If my father had given me a mediocre level of nurturing, I probably would have just settled and moved on. But it brought my focus to what was not working. And so I went on a journey once I was old enough to seek out what had been missing. What did I need? And by filling in the gaps of all that and then applying it to myself and creating my transformation, having the challenges like the world is having, brings our focus to you need to seek differently, starting with the inner self. And when you do that, it isn't too late to make a difference and make progress and to transform into a whole new set of more fulfilling choices. And so we apply that to the planet, and I think that's what's actually happening and what the opportunity is here.
You know, as you were saying that, the thought came to me that do you think that your choice for your first career of being a performer may have stemmed from the fact that what I was getting from your father more than not having a conversation was you weren't being heard, and you put yourself in a position to where everybody hears you now.
Well, it came more out, and that is truly a piece of it, but it came more out of what can I do to get his attention? What can I do to get his approval? And once my talents began to become apparent, I started getting attention. Now, it didn't create conversations, but I got noticed, I got attention, I got opportunities. And so I started saying, well, if I just prove myself through my talents, that's going to do it. Right. Now, it certainly got my father's attention when I was performing at some of the most famous performing arts centers in the world. But as I said, it did not leave me feeling any more than a masked version of that little child who was never seen and heard. And so, yes, it did give me the outer part of it, but the inner is the most crucial grand prize of life that we can seek.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Now, I want to dive into the book, but before we do that, I've studied psychology. I've had quite a few therapists. I haven't had a bioenergetics therapist. So can you share with us so that everybody out there will understand what the differences are. What is a bioenergetics therapist, and how does it differ from somebody who is going through something in life and feels they need to go get therapy? Share with us the differences.
Well, it includes all of the foundation of therapy and the psychology. Totally important to understand how our lives were set up, how it impacted us energetically, and then how we ended up with particular emotional wounding and how we developed certain beliefs around that, that needs the psychology in order to understand and nurture and re-educate self. The bioenergetics part. Bio means body. Right. Energetics is simply how energy moves through the body. Now, I particularly went after this because in my early 20s, I discovered that I had a capacity to feel other people. Mm-hmm. I didn't at first understand that was what was happening. I thought things were happening in my body. So I would tune into, let's say, my sister, who was having a kidney infection. And I was having all kinds of pain in my kidney area, and I had no idea I was picking up on her. So what I discovered is that I have a capacity to feel other people and where energy is blocked and where it's in pain. And I discovered over time that I could help move and awaken, releasing the blockages, creating more health in these various people. And so I wanted a way to understand that. And so I came up with bioenergetics therapy gives a way to understand certain ways of defending ourselves, like myself as a child who did not have a father who was speaking. I learned to hide anything that I felt was unlovable, unacceptable, etc. And so I had my own particular way of defending with energy and had to learn how to open up my own. And then realized that there is a system of five particular defense types that allow this to be put into a very specific approach for opening those blockages. So the gift in being able to feel other people is that when someone comes to me for help, I could tune in and say, pay attention to this grip in your body. I bet you feel pain here often. And they'd be like, oh my gosh, that is so on the money. And I would say, let me show you ways to stretch, move energy, use breath, use sound to awaken and create a flow. You'll have more vitality, more awareness, more health. Proactive health is becoming crucial these days with the cost of health care.
Yes. Is this something that you were able to do over distance? And so, because that's something that I think has grown more lately, and especially with the we're on StreamYard right now.
Yeah.
To be able to do things like this, where we can go back 30 years and we didn't have this type of way to communicate with people.
Yeah.
Can you explain if this is something that you're doing through distance? How does that work? How does that feel come in when you're not physically touching that person?
Yes. So fortunately, energy knows no time and distance. And so I can tune in to someone. I have clients all over the world. And it's lovely to be able to see someone on the internet and be able to communicate directly, mostly so that they can see my eyes of acceptance or feel the energy of my care coming to them directly. But it's not even crucial to do that. The bottom line is we can teach someone how to move energy without being in their presence. If it's okay with you, I'd love to do an exercise right now.
Absolutely. I'm Everybody wide open for you.
A way to do that.
Okay.
So most people don't even understand that they're not very connected to self because they've been surviving their lives just fine. Mm-hmm. But most people live up in the head, observing, reevaluating the same limited way of processing each thing, and they're not in their bodies. So I'm going to say one word, and I would love for everyone to focus on this word. Don't change a single thing about what you're already doing, but the word is breath. Don't change it, just notice it. Having done this with thousands of people, I know what most people are going to discover. They breathe very shallowly into the upper chest, mm-hmm. in general, and it's what I call survival breathing. Every cell in the body needs oxygen and energy, and we, hiding out up in the head, have learned to feed ourselves just enough to survive. But we're not very connected into the body like we were as infants. If you look at a baby lying on its back in a crib, the only thing that moves is the belly going up and down. And so if we take that principle and we exaggerate it so that we have a much bigger scope, what I'd love for each of you listening to do mm-hmm. is take a proactive full breath in the nose and a proactive out breath through the mouth. And I'll be silent for a few seconds. Do a couple of those. So I've already given one clue about needing to breathe into the lower belly. Just to be sure each of you is doing that, put one hand on the lower belly and see when you breathe in if it fills up, similar to looking 6 months pregnant. Fill up the balloon of your lower belly. Many people find that they can't even coordinate it to get it down there because they've so practiced holding on to the energy. Most people's chests are what get bigger when I say take a deep breath. And then we have the out breath. Why is it important compared to the in breath? Every breath you take is a clear message to your nervous system that says, this is how much I deserve to receive. And it's shocking if I only give myself enough to survive. Look at your life. How many people are frustrated because they feel like they're just making ends meet? They're just having enough to survive. And even when more money comes in, somehow at the end of the month, they're back to the same place. You give that message starting with the breath. And yet nobody's taught us about self and how we can impact the message. So that's the in-breath. So fill yourself and see how safe you are in what I call adult reality. To fill yourself, you're not depriving or hurting another person, and you are giving an initial new message. My adult self says, I am safe to receive much more fully. No ships are sinking in the harbor. Now the out breath. Most people, encouraged to breathe out the mouth, end up doing it like a straw, and they barely go to get the breath out. This is very careful. Now watch or hear what the difference is between and what I encourage, which is most people have never done one out breath in their lifetime like that. The body even tries to do a bigger breath when we yawn and that kind of thing. Most people will go, okay, I'll do that. And their mouths will get smaller and smaller. And I say, okay, freeze. Now see if you can get even one finger between your teeth. And most people find that their mouth and jaw is gripped. And so this comes from not having been encouraged when we were little, like I was not, mm-hmm. to say, Ron, how are you feeling? What's going on with you? Tell me what your perspective is. Tell me what interests you. Tell me who you are. We didn't feel safe. We didn't feel mm-hmm. seen in various ways. Of course, everybody's situation is unique, but having taught thousands of people, I know that the vast majority have the same kinds of deficits. And so the out-breath becomes very careful, and yet it is a clear message to my nervous system. How safe am I to share or assert who I am on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And most people find this totally fascinating and new. No one has ever talked to them about it, all the way down to a breath. And so this is an immediate way that you can find out how you can make a difference in your life. And if this is the only thing you did differently and you practice this consistently, your nervous system would begin to reveal more and more layers of self that have been held in there in the midst of a wounded child, not in the empowered perspectives of an adult.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm so glad that you brought it up because, and even though I have, for instance, I went through a period of time in my life where I was doing Wim Hof breathing. But for some reason, life takes over and I forget. And so it's something that I apparently got away from. And I think this is not only do I think it's great, but I think it's also a great reminder for some of us that may have done it for a while and then let life consume us. And we tend to forget that how beneficial it can be. So thank you.
So if no one has made it clear why there are benefits, how to do it in a very nurtured experience, and then don't have consistency of nurturing and reinforcing it, we will tend to go back to our wounded child default mode.
Yeah.
And we're right back to that shallow survival breathing. All the while, we've seen the benefit of why I brush my teeth every day. And we don't forget because someone has said, if you brush your teeth, you're going to have health there. And if you don't, there's a price to pay and you're going to be at the dentist with the drill and all of a sudden we're clear. And somehow we mostly don't forget to brush our teeth. And yet most people have never been educated about the nurturing of the inner self and what nurturing needs we actually have that make all the difference in whether we're fulfilled or not. Most people go through the motions of their lives and aren't necessarily intimate with the experience of life.
Wow. We are talking with Ron Baker. We're talking about his new book, Bright Lights, Big Empty, A Journey of Profound Awakening. This book, and as I said right in the introduction, it invites, there it is right there. And it invites us on an adventure of a lifetime. And I think for many of you, it will be something new. For others, it'll be a great reminder of some of the things that we've let fall by the wayside a little bit. So stay with us. We're going to continue on this journey. You're listening to or watching Answers Network.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. We are talking about the new book, Bright Lights, Big Empty, A Journey of Profound Awakening. Ron, one of the things you touch on in the book that I thought was very interesting is it appeared to be sort of a beginning of your growth You talk about a chance encounter on a bus, how it changed everything. Can you share with our listeners and viewers a little bit about that?
Sure. I was in New York City making my debut at Lincoln Center. And if you're not in the performing arts, that is probably the most famous performing arts center in the world. And we were going out of town to do what is called tryouts, doing performances before putting the show up in front of big New York City newspapers. And so we took this Sondheim show, Stephen Sondheim show, and we were traveling up to Saratoga Springs. I was sitting on the bus and heard this conversation behind me that was so fascinating. I was literally riveted hearing about someone who had a near-death experience. This was 1990, and it was not a common part of the conversation to hear about someone having a near-death experience. And the gentleman who described it all blew me away. And I turned around and I said, "I don't know who you are, but I know I'm supposed to talk to you." He ended up becoming my business partner and dearest friend in the world for 22 years before he passed away. And the reason this became so life-changing, number one, he was a seeker like myself, and I had never met someone who had had really unusual energetic experiences and was just as determined to find the deeper answers that made a great difference in his life. And so having that was profound. However, he discovered about 3 or 4 months later that he had a gift as a trance channel. Now, a trance channel is merely someone who acts like a radio does, where energy and information can travel through thin air and be picked up by a receiver. Now, that was a miracle a century ago. People wouldn't have ever believed that was possible. But Robert was able to act like a receiver for the energy of Archangel Gabriel. Now, as fascinated as I was by that possibility, what was way more important to me than the phenomenon of channeling was the information was so loving and clear and profound. And I had 1,000 questions as a child. Every single question was answered so that I felt at peace, because I have a very strong BS meter. And if something doesn't resonate for me as truth, I don't care if I'm talking to an archangel. I'll be like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. That doesn't make any sense to me. Can you help? Or I won't really embrace that." So the answers, which became thousands of hours of the most profound education about not only how to transform the self and heal all that initial soul setup wounding, but also became a profound education about what's happening on the planet and why the things are happening on the planet, and teaching about that soul journey that I spoke about earlier. I had already been exploring, but to find access to Gabriel like this became what changed the trajectory of my life in a big way.
And to sort of paint a picture for us, so that we can see and feel this too, what did those experiences feel like? I mean, was it like you and I sitting down and having a conversation, or was it an inner knowing that these things are being kind of projected into our head?
Well, I'll describe it as it came through Robert, and then say that I also discovered about 3 years later that I, through a process of telepathy, could pick up and hear guidance, and mine was very different. But through Robert, he would literally receive the information and it would come through him, and he was not conscious at all of what was coming through. He had a setup in his early life, like the perfection of my challenge, preparing me to focus on 9 nurturing needs and the discovery of those. Robert's challenge was that he grew up in a logging camp and he was beat up over and over and over. And he wanted to leave his body just to protect himself. And so what gift came out of that was a capacity to let his energy release and allow that energy of Gabriel to speak through him. And so just like I'm having a conversation with you, I talked with Gabriel for untold amounts of hours, asking every question I could. And it felt very personal and loving and nurturing and clear.
And how did you know that this was Archangel Gabriel? And was there a reason that it was him that was chosen to speak to you?
Yes. Basically, every time he came in through Robert, he would say the same opening line. Dearly beloved, we are most joyous to be in your divine presence. As you know, we are called Archangel Gabriel. Mm. And so he said right away, and of course, I had no idea who Archangel Gabriel was. However, he said, we have come in at various times when the planet is ready to shift to a whole new level of awakening. We came in 2,000 years ago to announce the birth of a soul-infused man named Jesus. And that world teacher is going to come in and plant the seeds of possibility, the qualities of the heart, the initiation process that is required to go through to integrate soul. And this world teacher provided an education that we can clearly see, no matter how religious someone is or isn't, that education has had an impact on the entire planet.
Absolutely.
And he said, we are here now to announce another major shift in consciousness, but it's not the birth of a particular world teacher. It's the birth of soul consciousness, which can also be called Christed consciousness. It's not a religious term. It's a level of awareness that is our highest potential. And so that is what is now going to be birthing itself on the planet. And he told us this 33 years ago, actually, today, not this very day, but this year. And if we think about it, the planet has shifted, accelerated, and evolved more in the last 30 years than in the 3,000 years prior. We have more knowledge and technology and capacity and internet and so many facets. And the conversation that we're in is so different than it was 50 years ago, much less thousands of years ago. And so this is proof in the pudding about an acceleration, and to have an understanding of it from the perspective of the awakening soul is profound. And this, let me word it this way, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I like to create a clear map, and I offer people a map of the whole self, which is child, adult, and soul, like three concentric circles. When we are born, we have a child inside us, an adult, and a soul inside us. But if I said to you at 6 years old, there's an adult inside you, it would make no sense. It would freak you out. You would have no reference point as a six-year-old to what it would even mean to be an adult with the capacities that you now live in and take for granted, maybe, just because it's so natural. Well, I say to you all, there's a soul inside each one of us. And most people have no idea what that would mean in the awakening of the next levels of our potential. Just the front edges of that potential awakening over these last 30 years is what has allowed more energy to move in the body, awakening consciousness. It's why we have all of the discoveries, the constant newness of technology and so many other things. Yeah. A lot of it is focused outward. The same thing is trying to take place on the inner. And the challenge is that if we don't learn how to move energy, all of a sudden the river is like the dam was released and so much more energy is flowing through the body, but it slams into all of those blockages and defenses we've been holding, which is why, in addition to all the acceleration, we also have an acceleration of disease and challenges, et cetera, on the planet. And we need to learn how to move the energy. So as an example, in the last 25 years, I've been sick 2 days because of the flow of energy. And this is what my clients find is happening, that they are more and more and more in proactive health, just as one example.
Yeah. And I'm very similar to that as well, as far as, you know, it's through the entire COVID thing. And I still worked with people. I still did lots of things. And I ended up with people that ended up being, you know, testing positive, but yet I never got it. But I want to go back to when you were talking about the channeling and sort of the outer body experience. I'm going to share with you two things. I'm going to take this a little bit personal.
Yes, please.
One is that while discussing a TV show that I developed, I'm discussing it with, there's a group of us, about seven, sitting in a circle, and I have to my left one of the executive producers, one of the owners of that production company that we brought it to. And everybody's asking questions and they're answering and things like that. And I turned to him and I answered a question. And the look on his face, all the blood went out of his face. And he said, "Why did you just say that?" And I said, "Because you just asked a question." He goes, "In my head," he goes, "I didn't say that out loud. I'm sorry." And so that was one of the things and I've had these types of things happen. But the other part is that when you were mentioning about, in essence, feeling that, you know, or the one of the questions of one of the listeners was have the feeling of leaving one's body. As a very young international investigator, and I was doing cases, I still do, in regards to returning parentally abducted children and children that have been taken into human trafficking, I had an incredibly difficult case and I was under a huge amount of stress. It was affecting me a lot that we were unable to find this girl. And then I found myself dreaming at night that I had a magic carpet and that I was flying on this carpet and I was going over neighborhoods and looking down in the neighborhoods. It was as if I could cover more area this way. And after about a week of this, I woke up and I had an idea of where she was. And we went there and she was. So it, you know, I don't know. It's not as if it's a switch that I can turn on or how to hone it. But what is your explanation of those things?
So since the one you just told is freshest in people's minds, let's start there and then we'll go back to the one in the group. Mm-hmm. So every single night when we sleep, we have an astral body and we have a soul body that are inside us. The astral is fourth dimensional and the soul is fifth dimensional. It's just levels of energy. And every night when we sleep, our astral body comes out of the physical body and floats above the physical body and literally feeds itself on certain kinds of energy. It's called neuric energy. It's not really relevant, but feeds on that and then enters the physical body. Many people may have had an experience like when they were just about to fall asleep or just about to wake up, all of a sudden they go, "Ah!" and they feel like they have fallen. Mm-hmm. And this is when the astral body either doesn't get all the way out of the physical body and goes back in, or is re-entering the physical body and the waking up process gets jarred and we're aware of something like falling. So in dreams, we are seeing archetypes of energy. And when the astral body needs to travel to fulfill some soul intention, or in your case, a physical intention, it was literally flying, and your nervous system gave you the carpet to be on so that you allowed that process to happen. And you literally were able to stay conscious of your astral body traveling, and you got the answer you had been seeking. It was clearly on a soul level meant for you to play a beautiful part in finding this child. And it's something that we can learn to do called lucid dreaming, where we are more and more aware of what's happening in our dreams, and we can marry the conscious mind with that subconscious, which is what is typically happening in dreaming. So it's all very exciting that we have these potentials and that we can wake up and look at what an amazing service you played in those lives. And now you get to share the story, inspiring tons of other people who have either had an experience and they're afraid of it and they shut it down, they don't trust it, or they want to begin exploring now that you've shared the story. Mm-hmm. So astral body, astral travel is the first one. The second one is more like what I mentioned when I said Robert was a trance channel and received the energy and got out of the way. Myself, I discovered that I could hear guidance in my head, and I, just like feeling people's energy, I thought I was making it up. Mm-hmm. Turned out to be true, and it turned out to be clear. And so I began to do tests with Robert where I would get information and I would not tell Robert. And then when Gabriel would come through, he would go, just like when you heard this answer about blah, blah, blah. And I got so many affirmations. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is this: when we heal the wounding that keeps us defended and separate, and we open up, so much more is possible than what we've been taught, because we've been taught almost nothing about self for the most part. And so we have all of this potential that can wake up. And some people have experienced telepathy as just an intuitive inkling, such as a lot of people share this one. Out of the blue, I thought of Susie, and I haven't thought of Susie for years. And 30 seconds later, the phone rings and it's Susie. This is literally your receiver potential tuning into the energy and the intention from another person. And you just happen to have that moment, or perhaps many moments, where you open up and you allow yourself to hear. I have certainly gotten that in the physical. And I purposefully choose to call in my particular guides, Gabriel, for many, many years, and now others as well, where I simply call in and receive and listen. And the information is just as beautiful as what was coming through Robert. So we all have these potentials, such as the potential for proactive health, such as the potential for greater intimacy and fulfillment in our relationships. But we have to learn how to clear the stuff that's in the way, mostly fear, shame, and judgment. And these are energies of the child that are not threatening when we learn about adult reality and how to show up in that much of our potential.
Ron, I just glanced at the time. It has flown by. So yes. First of all, I would love to have you back, because I have so many more questions, and to me, you are providing such an incredible service for everybody. I so appreciate it. For anybody out there, if you want to get more information on Ron, his website's very simple. It's just ronbaker.net. Again, the book, Bright Lights, Big Empty, it's a journey of profound awakening. Highly recommend it. Ron, I would love to talk more. I'd love to have you back on. But again, I just want to say thank you so much for making a positive difference in the world.
Thank you so much, Alan.
All right. Now, for everybody out there, please be with us next week when we're joined by Susan Combs. And she's going to discuss her new book, Pancakes for Roger, a mentorship guide for slaying dragons from her father, a 5-star general. So I also ask that you visit our archives of past interviews by going to answers.network. Or make it simple, subscribe to the show. You can do it through Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Rumble, Spreaker, and so many more popular podcast platforms. And if you like what you hear, please leave a review. It helps us reach more people with positive and informative messages. And I know that we greatly appreciate it, and we get feedback from people that say that they greatly appreciate it. And the next time that you're on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, please remember, stop by our page, check out some of our latest shows. If you like them, please like us and spread the word. For everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers Network.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.